Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to author G.D. Grace's A Touch of Grace, Literary Magic, on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, when you find someone you love a lot, you hold them tight and you never let them go. There's nothing that does it for me like a classic song telling a beautiful story. People of the world, I am your host, GD. Welcome to Street Player Presents on A Touch of Grace. Today's date is Saturday, the 28th of June, the final Saturday in the month of June. Can't believe we're halfway through the year. The time is 1:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You just heard I Love You, sung by the late diva of disco, Miss Donna Summer. Today, we celebrate a Donna Summer experience with tribute performing artist, the lovely and radiant Rainier Martin. On May 17, 2012, LaDonna Adrienne Gaines, whom the musical world knew as Donna Summer, transitioned from this life into the afterlife. And we mourn the passing of a legend who electrified stages around the globe with a seductive sound that became her signature onstage persona. In the 70s, no act was bigger than Summers, who dominated the music charts with hit after hit. We felt love when the DJ spun Hot Stuff, Bad Girls, I Love You, the song we just heard, MacArthur Park, and countless other classic hits, distinct in rhythm, and hypnotic in sound. The footsteps of a legend aren't easy to fill, but today's guest channels the provocative spirit of the icon we remember today. Rainier Martin oozes sex appeal with an uncanny resemblance to Donna, and her early explorations had her performing in theater, music videos, motion pictures, and TV. She became a sought-after performer for appearances at a variety of social and corporate events, which eventually led her to nationwide exposure and a standing ovation at the legendary Showtime at the Apollo Theater in New York City. If imitation is the greatest form of flattery, then flattering the world, she is. I welcome the radiant Rainier Martin to Street Fair Presents on A Touch of Grace. Rainier, welcome and thanks for doing the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great, great, great. Well, I am just excited about the show today because we're going to be talking about one of my favorite performers in history, and that's Donna Summer. So we have the profound privilege of having someone who loved Donna Summer so much that she formed a tribute extravaganza showcasing some of Donna's greatest moments in music. So let's talk about Rainier. Where did Rainier grow up, and when did music enter her life?
Well, I grew up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I grew up in a household filled with music. And actually, my first 45 that I ever received from my mother was on the radio. So as children do, they imitate what they hear. So I play the record over and over and over again. And to this day, that is the song that I most identify to.
Wow, that was very first. You know what, Rainier, I remember those 45s with the little yellow thing that, you know, you had to stick
right
in.
Right.
Fall right in, and they'd be breaking all apart and everything. But I just have to tell you, I loved On the Radio, too. And by that time, Donna was well into her soaring career. So let's talk
right
about the earlier years. What moved your spirit and motivated you during your impressionable years? I know that you got on the radio, but let's go before that. What was a motivation to your spirit at that time?
Well, I was a little girl, so I was just actually, you know, getting into music at that time. So On the Radio was actually the first song that I identified with and that I fell in love with that Donna had done. So I don't know too much before that time because I was too young, but from On the Radio on is when I pretty much, you know, got into it. And then after listening to On the Radio, then, of course, I was exposed to all of her other music, and I just identified with Donna. It would just be that I was blessed to have that same tone, that beautiful tone that Donna had. I was blessed to have that, and I think that's why people identified me, you know, that compared me to Donna when they would hear me sing. So,
well, one thing that I have to honestly say, in addition to having that wonderful quality of sound that Donna had, you're absolutely stunning. You are a stunning young woman. I have to tell you right now, I had to do a double take when Wayne, you know, introduced me to who you were. And I just thought, wow, she's amazing. And I love the flower. You are certainly a lady as Donna was, you know, no tattoo wearing and all that stuff. You just a class
right
act, you know.
Right.
So you're excited.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, have you heard that all your life?
Put it this way. You know, we all have moments. We have good, pretty days and not so pretty days. I mean, I think I went through my transitions like everyone did, you know, but I'm just blessed to have the talent that I have and just be given what and use what God gave, you know, my God-given talents that God gave me. I'm blessed to have all that I have.
And we're blessed that you were courageous enough to step into the shoes that the Almighty definitely had planned for you. So you're cited in your bio as saying that your grandmother filled your heart with beautiful song. So what type of relationship did you have with your grandmother?
Oh, my goodness. I miss her so, so much. She was like a second mother to me. We were attached to the hip, and my grandmother actually used to sing back in her day, and she was actually offered a recording contract, but in those days, you know, things were a little different, so she chose family life, you know, over her entertainment life, and I was just blessed to have her talent. She passed it on down to me, and it just kills me that she wasn't alive to see me, you know, where I am today. Unfortunately, she passed 5 years ago, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't think of her. Before every show, she's in my mind, and I say a prayer. And I know she's watching, you know, looking down on me. She's beaming with joy, but what I wouldn't give to have her sitting front and center at one of my performances. So that's wow. One thing I regret, that she's not here to experience and go on this journey with me. So.
Well, she actually is with you in spirit, and I'm pretty sure that you know that well. And I always just applaud elders that see a talent in a young person, and they encourage them. I had a famous background singer who sang with Marvin Gaye and a host of others. Her name is Whitney Davis, and she told the tale of how her father hung a star on her door when she was a little girl and surprised her with it. So he sent her to her room, and, you know, and when she gets there, she has a star on the door. And, you know, that incites so much confidence in a person. And thank God for your grandmother. What was her name?
Helen E. Hale. She was the love of my life. I don't think she had an enemy, not one. She was that type of person. She could run into the nastiest person, and by the end of the conversation, they were loving her. So she's missed dearly. She's missed dearly. So, but I know she's watching over me.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to tap into the final moments. Hopefully it's not too personal. What were your final moments like with your grandmother? Do you remember those final moments?
Well, unfortunately, she went in the hospital. She had pneumonia. Then she acquired meningitis, had a stroke and a heart attack. So at the time of her passing, she really wasn't coherent. Hopefully, she could hear us speaking with her. But, you know, she actually said to me, you know, she would speak, but I don't know if she really could hear us, but I think she was trying to warn us that she was leaving, because she made a couple statements like, I'm on my way out, you know, and just, you know, certain things. So unfortunately, we weren't able to connect like on a coherent level, but I believe, you know, she felt us there, but she wasn't really, you know, all the way coherent. So my mother and I, you know, we went to see her every day, and hopefully she felt our presence, you know, there. So that was unfortunate.
It reminds me of a scene in a movie called Imitation of Life, where the wonderful woman, I can't remember what her name was, but she was passing on, and she made this statement: some of the greatest events in our lives, or the greatest events in our lives, are the day we're born and the day we die. You know, and that's always a tearjerker. So at least you were there with her when she made her final transition. What a wonderful woman she was, and I'm so glad that she cultivated the confidence in you. So in addition to yourself, who were the immediate members of your family in the household, and do any of them possess the gift that you have? I know your grandmother sang, but did anybody else in your family have the gift?
My mother, of course. My mother, my mother has a beautiful voice, but she never aspired to take it any further than that. But my mother and my grandfather, actually, there was music playing all the time. My mother has a beautiful voice, and of course, my grandmother did. So, you know, they all pushed me to go after my dream. You know, and even it took me until the age of 42 to get known. You know, to get out there. But you know, maybe it wasn't in God's plans for me to be Rainier Martin in my own right. Unfortunately, maybe he knew Donna was going to go. He was going to take Donna, and maybe that's what his plans were, for me to take the torch and carry her legacy to go on. So whatever God's plans are, I'm fine with them, and I'm going to take off running with them. So.
All right. Well, I'm certainly glad that you're here on A Touch of Grace today, here on Street Player, so that we could go ahead and other people will find out exactly who Rainier Martin is, and get to know just how wonderful you are, how wonderful your grandmother and your mother knew that you were, and so, or I should say are, because I don't want to talk about you in the past tense, because we are still here. So I know that, you know, On the Radio was the first song that you heard, and that song changed your life. What was it, or what is it, about Donna Summer that you found so alluring?
I did a lot of research on her, and I read up on her, and I think what really grabbed me, she was such a humble person to be such a diva. She didn't have, she didn't carry herself in that diva mode where she thought she was better than everyone else. She was a real down-to-earth person from what I could, what I read on her. And then also with me doing Legends of Concert, we would do a meet and greet after each show, and so many people came to me after the shows telling me stories about when they met her and what type of person she was, and every single story was so positive. Like, Donna made you feel like you were something instead of you bowing down to her, like she was the diva. And that just makes me want to do, every time I do Donna, it makes me feel good to know that I'm representing someone that had that type of attitude and that was positive. And she looked at you just like you and I. We're just regular people. I'm not this quote-unquote big diva, and I'm better than you are. So that makes me definitely identify with her, absolutely.
Mm. Well, the thing that I remember, if I remember correctly, I remember Donna and her sisters, I think they were gospel singers. And so there was a big to-do when she stepped into the role of Donna Summers, and she, of course, wore the hell out of clothes. And they were seductive, but they were classy. You know, she didn't have
right.
all of her goodies and stuff hanging out. And, you know, it was a contrast from who she was offstage because, you know, when she – I remember this one scene where she's got this glittery top on to a dress, and she's singing I Feel Love. And it's almost like she transformed into that seductive siren that we just loved. And it was just so
right.
amazing, the transformation. And then I got a chance to look at some of your pictures, you know, when
right.
you are Rainier. And then when I see you as Donna, I mean, you are like this goddess, girl. I am just, let me bow
yeah.
at your feet. You know, just
Thank
wonderful.
You. Thank you. It means a lot
yeah.
to me. And also, I have two daughters, Amber, that is 16, and Alexis, that is 9. And, you know, I want to set a good example for them as well. And I think that you can be beautiful and sexy without showing every piece of your skin. You know, so it's
right.
important to, that I pass that on to my daughters. And also with talking with Donna's family, you know, I let them know, I said they had my word that I would always represent Donna to the highest degree, you know, in a positive light. So that's important to me. It's important.
Well, you said something that is an excellent question. So, and I wondered, but I hadn't even prepared to ask this question. So you actually got a chance to talk to Donna's family, huh?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I last week in Boston, they had a big benefit concert / ceremony for a mural that was done at Donna Summer's old high school, Burke High, in Boston. And I was honored to be asked to come to perform and do a tribute to Donna. And I couldn't ask for any more. Her family, you know, accepted me and welcomed me with open arms. And, you know, some of the conversations that I had, I will cherish for the rest of my life. I mean, that's important to me because, you know, that's always a touchy situation. You're paying tribute to their family member because they were her family before we knew her as Donna. So it's a touchy situation when you're no going into those territories. But it was important to me that they knew that the tribute that I was doing was coming straight from the heart, and I had nothing but good intentions and wanted to represent Donna to the highest degree at all times. So I will, like I said, I will cherish that experience for the rest of my life, and it makes me feel good to know that I have their blessings and they know that it's coming from a good place. So absolutely.
I think that's incredible. I remember the movie Selena, with Selena Quintanilla, the young Mexican star that, you know, was somebody killed her. And I remember when Jennifer Lopez stepped into the role and she got a chance to actually go and live in the home where Selena grew up to actually be able to get a feel of just who she was off stage, because I think that is so important. And for your conversations with the family, you know, you're not just getting up there, you know, going through the motions, singing the songs.
Right.
You actually have a feel of what she was like off the stage, which I think is incredible. And I want to commend you on something that you mentioned as you were talking a little earlier about Amber and Alexa and how you want to be a representative of being class, you know, and not having to show all of your skin, because, you know, beauty is profound. You know, beauty is also in the heart, and it's not with, you know, everything hanging out. So I just want to commend you for being a wonderful parent to two growing daughters who will become women one day, and what a beautiful legacy you are paving the trail for them. So let's step back in time right now, Renair. Let's go back to that moment. Oh, you're welcome. Let's step back into that moment when you first emerged on the stage as a tribute artist, Donna Summer. What year was it, and what were you feeling inside prior to taking the stage?
Well, it was year 2012, and it was actually 2 months after Donna passed. And it was ironic how everything came to be. My husband and two daughters, we always vacation in Bally's, Atlantic City, every year. So I had given up singing for, like, years and years. I had tried to make it in my own right in my early 20s. And as my luck would have it, I wasn't meeting the right people, wasn't in the right places. So it's very frustrating. So I had just given up. I said, this is not for me. And just 2 years ago, like I guess maybe about a month or two before I landed Legends, I got the itch to sing again. So I started, you know, looking into doing little things. And then we were vacationing at Bally's in Atlantic City, and they had signs up all over the casino, Legends in Concert. They had five artists that they were appearing there. And I looked at my husband, and I said, should I? And then I said, no, never mind. I've been there, done that. I said, I'm not even going to bother. But as it would have it, I ended up going to inquire about it anyway, and I bumped into one of their head dancers, Renee, that I had bumped into. I knew her, have known her from another time. So I bumped into her, and to make a long story short, she forwarded my information to Las Vegas, and they actually had a Donna Summer that was due to come, I guess, the next month to perform in Atlantic City. And as luck would have it, unfortunately, that Donna Summer took ill. And basically, I had the job just like that after, you know, forwarding, you know, audition tapes or whatever. And basically, they said, no, they said, well, we think you're great, but, you know, we have a Donna Summer, we'll be in touch. And then later that same day, I got an email stating, can you come to Atlantic City tomorrow? So when I say it happened like the snap of a finger, it happened like the snap of a finger. So God is good. I was finally in the right place at the right time. So that's how I got my start with Legends, and then it just ran. It just took off running from there. So
okay. That is fantastic. I think it's kismet. As the late Tina Marie sang, part of it was kismet. And I, like you said, you were in a place where you didn't really know if this was something you wanted to do. And, you know, one led into two and two led into three. And then you were part of the legend of Bally's to perform as Donna, you know, because someone else got sick. Just, you know, a twist of fate, you know, teaches us to always be prepared, because we never know when opportunity presents itself. So what was that experience like for you? During the Legends of Bally's?
It was amazing. It was amazing. I can't even put it into words. I mean, I did the run for like 2 months, and no lie, every day before I stepped on stage, I said a prayer, and I thanked God as if it was the first time I was on stage, because as I was doing this, I was still amazed that, like, is this really happening? You know, and it was one of the best things that has happened to me in my music career-wise. And I'm in awe, like I said, up to last week, meeting her family. I would never thought that that would have happened. So that just shows you that you should never give up on your dreams. You know, 42 years old, I finally got noticed. You know what I'm saying? So never give up on your dreams, never. So that's a lesson to everyone. Doesn't matter how old you are. If it's meant to be, it's going to happen. So.
And so I want to touch a little bit on that because we talked about it a little bit. But you met her family. Who were the members of her family that you met?
I met two of her sisters, her brother, and nieces and nephews. It was a host. There were a lot of her family there. And like I said, they were all very gracious and just very kind and loving and accepting. And that's more than I could ever ask for.
Yeah, you have to be something special, Rainier. I have to tell you that right now because even, you know, with her death, because it was a respectable moment because they didn't, you know, glamorize it. It was very family-oriented. It was very touching. You know, it was not the spectacle that a lot of the funerals for our passing legends have been, you know, so for them to open up to you like that, they saw something in you, Rainier, that same thing that I saw, because again, once I saw you, I thought, oh my God, you know, definitely I want to be able to have this wonderful woman on the show. So let's talk about the creative visual aspect of this. Did you create the stage show presence yourself, or were there others involved in the mix to actually be able to deliver the full Donna the Summer experience?
Well, starting with Legends, Legends and Concert, the way it works is you're really an independent contractor, so responsible for Madonna look. So just from, you know, doing my research on her wardrobe and how she wore her hair, I basically, with no experience, just went out and made it happen. I went to the wig store, got the right wig, and I love fashion, so that was pretty easy, and it's a blessing because I get to play dress up because a lot of the gowns and beautiful wardrobe that I have, I'm not able to wear on a daily basis, so that's the fun part of it because I get to play dress up. But I had a couple sequin dresses in my wardrobe, and then as time went on, I started getting all my costumes tailor-made to fit, and so I would be right on point on stage. So that was right up my alley. So I got to shop and do girly things and get paid for it. So that's always a plus. But I'm doing something, more importantly, I'm doing something that I love. And like I said, it comes from the heart. And like I said, I always want to represent Donna in the you know, highest light possible. So everything just pretty much came together. So
I know that you have two young daughters, and I remember when Donna – by the way, I know that you have a ball actually being able to pick out the gowns and the outfits back in the day. Because, girl, you rocking them silver boots. I keep looking at it. I said, she looks just like Donna Summer. And, of course, you have your own natural beauty as well. But you rocking them silver out of space boots. I just have to tell you, it was fantastic. So
Thank you. You're
a mother. Oh, you're welcome. But Mimi. Donna Summers, I think, and I'm not sure if she had another child, but I remember Mimi, and I remember how doting she was. She would bring Mimi up on the stage, and she would sing to her. So did you get a chance to meet Mimi?
No, unfortunately, no. She has the oldest daughter is Mimi, and then she has two daughters after Mimi, but I didn't get a chance to meet any of her children or her husband. I think they had other engagements, and they were, you know, far away. So her immediate family within Boston, you know, they all came out and supported. And her nephew, Omega Red, he's the one that organized it all and was the one that gave the okay for me to come and perform. But I think the immediate family within Boston, you know, were there. But I have to say this, that you mentioned my daughter. My youngest would kill me if I didn't. She just asked me, like, I guess 2 weeks ago, if she could be my manager. And that's Alexis, and she's 9. So I have two managers. One is Wayne. But my first manager is Alexis Martin, so she would kill me if I did not mention her name and give her credit. And she's, you know, she's amazing. She helps me rehearse, and she's no joke. Like if I start singing and something goes wrong, she pushes the button. She's like, Mom, now you need to do it. You need to do it over. You did A, B, C, D wrong. Now start over and do it again. So she's no joke. She's serious about her job. So I just wanted to make sure I made mention that she's my manager, because I would be in the doghouse if I didn't. So
I think, okay, so let me just tell you, adorable alert. So I had it with Sydney Davis, with her father and the star on the door. We have now just had another adorable moment here on A Touch of Grace. Alexis, 9 years old, is her mom's manager, and she ain't no joke. I just love that. I just love that stuff. So what I want
to
do right
now. I have to tell you one more thing real quick. I had a meeting to go to the other day, and she was like, Mom, can I go with you? And I said, well, Lexi, you can't today because, you know, we have to take her some business. And she was very upset. She said, you know what, Mom, I really don't think this is fair. She said, I had some things that I needed to put on a table, I think, that will help your show, and I don't think that's right that I can't go. So, you know, I definitely had to mention her today, because I would be in the doghouse forever if I didn't. But she's an important part of my career, so.
Well, you know what, and thanks for including her. I think that, Rainier, you have a future music mogul on your hands, so she could certainly be up there with some of the greats, such as, you know, the guy from Sony and, you know, RCA and Solar. You know, I mean, how wonderful is that? See, I honestly believe that legends are born, and she definitely is already becoming one in her own little 9-year-old frame. So that's fantastic. So what we're going to do now, we're going to take a musical break, and we're about to hear Rainier Martin doing a medley of some of Donna's greatest classics. So kick back as we enter this music break, and then we're going to come back for the final questions of the interview, okay?
Okay.
All right, sounds good. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've tuned in today, which I know you have, and if you're listening to the recording broadcast, we are interviewing, or I am interviewing, Rainier Martin, tribute artist perfection. And she is discussing Donna Summer and more. So kick back. This is Rainier doing Donna Summer medley. So enjoy.
Very near and dear to my heart, because I won an Academy Award for it in 1976. And it was in a movie. Does anybody know what the name of that movie is? Last Dance is the name of the song, but what was the name of the movie? All these Donna Summer fans out here, but nobody knows the name of the movie. Bodyguard? That's Whitney Houston. Okay. Thank God it's Friday.
ladies and gentlemen. Now, I know that the recording might not sound as clear, but usually it all pans out during the recorded broadcast. So if you did not hear Donna Summer in those vocals, then I think you need to go back and replay it. I mean, it's just uncanny. Rainier, your voice sounds just dead on Donna Summer. That's just all you, isn't it?
That's all me. That's all me. God is good.
Yeah, God is good, because when Wayne told me about you, I said, you know what, let me hear, because I was, you know, I'm, again, the biggest Donna Summer fan. And then when I heard you, I'm like, and Wayne goes, well, what did you think? I said, I think that she sounds dead on Donna Summer. I said, so she is definitely the real deal. So you've got the ballet experience behind you. You've got the family who is supporting. You've got 9-year-old Alexis as your manager. And just a lot of people behind the engine of your tribute celebration for Donna Summer. But now, I also know that you perform other genres of music. But before we step into that question, when you are portraying Donna, do you ever feel her presence with you on the stage?
Boy, do I. And it might sound crazy, but I was talking to one of my girlfriends, and she was just wondering how I do it all, because I work a full-time job and then try to maintain a family, and then I also do Donna. She's like, I don't know how you do it all. And I said, well, there are days that I really don't know how I'm going to make it through a performance, because I'm just physically drained and physically tired. And I told her, there are three people that I reach out to when I'm feeling like that: God, my grandmother, and Donna. And there are some days, you know, I'm talking and I'm looking at Donna and I'm looking up, I'm like, Donna, you're killing me, because her voice was amazing. It was so strong and powerful. And there are times when I'm rehearsing and, you know, I'm just not getting it, and I look at her and I'm like, Donna, I need your help. You know what I'm saying? So it might sound crazy, but I do believe in it. And I believe that, you know, they're looking down, and she knows that I'm trying to, you know, help her legacy live on. So it might sound crazy to some, but, I mean, it is what it is. And I know what helps me get through performances when I'm at that point where I feel like I can't go anymore. So.
And so is there a ritual? Because I believe it, too. I honestly believe that. I actually spoke at a memorial service a couple of days ago, and I cited this scene in the movie Ghost where Patrick Swayze is ascending on. And what he tells Whoopi Goldberg and Demi Moore is that the love that you have in this life, you take it with you. But in addition to, and I'm going to tack on, in addition to the loved one taking the love with them on the other side, they leave a lot of love and a lot of their presence here. So I honestly understand and definitely wholeheartedly believe you when you say that there is a presence there. And I know that she is just smiling at you, Rainer. I just think it's fantastic. So is there a ritual that you do prior to showtime before you step into the role of Donna?
I would say, like I mentioned before, prayer is so strong. And that's what I do before every performance. And without God and the higher power, you're nothing. So I put it in God's hands. And like I said, I know my grandmother's putting her hand in, Donna's putting her hand, and I pull through every time. And I strongly believe that.
So as you're standing on stage, and you are, and thank you for expanding on that. So when you're on the stage, and you're Donna, and you're looking out into the audience, what is the racial climate like out there, and what is the physical climate as far as your audiences are concerned?
I would say I definitely most times receive a lot of love. A lot of people are touched. I've looked into the audience and of all colors and seeing tears in their eyes. Some are jumping and dancing in their seats. Others are sitting there in amazement. And I thrive off of that, you know, because I want to connect with my audience and I want them to feel what I'm giving off. And I've seen it many times. And also after, like, especially with Legends, after the show when we do the meet and greet, so many people have come to me with tears in their eyes and saying, you don't know what that performance did for me. You brought a piece of Donna back, and that means so much to me. And that means so much to me to hear that, because that makes me realize that I'm doing my job the way it should be done, that I'm touching others, because that's a good part of why I do what I do. I want to touch others. I want them to feel what I feel. So,
you know, I got tickled when you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it. I'm finished. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I just like your interaction with the audience. You ask them the question, okay, do you know what movie this comes from? And
right.
Somebody said, you know, The Bodyguard. I tell you what, you just got to just love the fans. And
right.
You're just a natural. So the song Heaven Knows is a duet that she sang with Brooklyn Dream. So have you ever got a chance to meet Brooklyn Dream? And when you're performing the song, do you have someone who sings the duet with you?
Well, actually, I never got to meet. I know her husband was actually a part of that group. But I have not met her husband yet, and I haven't met Brooklyn Dreams, but I did speak to one of the members of Brooklyn Dreams through Facebook, and he saw a clip of, you know, my performance, and he said, you're doing a great job, you know, thumbs up. So that meant a lot. So hopefully one day I will be able to meet her husband and, you know, the other members of Brooklyn Dreams. But actually, I have a show coming up in Philadelphia on July 19th in Center City at the Plays and Players. Barry White, a young man that does Barry White, his name is Jordan Carroll. He's amazing. And he is actually going to do that part with me. We're going to do the duet for Heaven Knows. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So everyone, if you're listening here in Philadelphia, please come out and support on July 19th. Tickets are on sale at An Evening with Donna at brownpapertickets.com. So everybody in Philly, I'm looking for everybody to come out and support and make that show a success.
Okay, I got a chance to. Thanks for that. We're going to announce that again a little later in the show so people have all the information to be able to go
okay.
out and support the show. And so I got a chance to hear the person that you mentioned as far as Barry White, and again, nails it. You know, I tell you right now, mm-hmm. when I looked at him, I'm like, oh my God, it's almost like I'm looking at Barry White. And
right.
That's going to be an incredible show. We're going to talk about your upcoming events to find out if there are any more, and then how fans could actually follow you in different cities to actually be able to go out and support what you're doing. So I know that you perform other genres of music. So what are they, and do you incorporate them into your Donna Summer sets, or are they just independent shows?
Well, actually, believe it or not, I actually sing a little country. And you would be amazed if you heard some of the vocals that I've done on some country tunes. If you heard them, you would have thought I had been singing country my whole life. I pretty much love a little bit of every type of music, jazz, you know. I listen to a little bit of everything. In my show, I am going to do a little bit of Rainier. I have a dedication that I'm actually going to do for my grandmother. So you will get to see who Rainier is a little bit, as well as Donna. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So
God, I can't wait. I hope you guys wind up coming over here on the West Coast, because I would love, and I'm in Northern California, by the way. I think that you would electrify Northern California here at probably Yoshi's. And I can't think of some of the winery. I'm not really sure how they book their talent, but I can honestly see you being a stone sellout. Easy.
Wow.
Because she was really big here in San Francisco. And, of course, you know, the area loves Barry White, so that's going to be incredible. So for real quick, let's talk about who should be called for booking.
Wayne at World Media, and we can give his direct information after, you know, towards the end of the show. But World Media, Wayne, it's my manager, and that's who you could contact for booking.
Okay, he's incredible. So I'm not sure who this is holding, so we've got a few more questions before we wind down in the show, but I want to take a call. So are you up to talking to a fan?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's go ahead and do it. Okay, so 215-594, you are on with GD and the beautiful, radiant Rainier Martin. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hello, my name is Xavier Carthen, one of her biggest fans here in Philadelphia. How you doing, Rainier?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I was in bed getting some rest, and I get a text message on my phone to let me know that she is going to be on this blog program. So here I am, and I'm glad to be here, and it's good to hear you, Rainier.
I'm glad to be here, Xavier. I'm glad you gave a call in.
Thank you. I just want to let the viewers know, the listeners know that she is a wonderful person inside and out. I'm from San Francisco, California. Yes, Yoshi would love to have you there. And I've been in Philadelphia for 9 years, and when I met Rainier back in 2009, I used to work with her. I remember the day when she told me, let's do lunch. I want you to go out to my car and listen to something. And so I sat in her car, and she popped in her CD, and I heard this beautiful voice. And I said, who is that? She said, me. I said, no way. That woman was beautiful. She sang The Winds Beneath My Wings, dedicated to her grandmother. And I said, you need to take that talent to another level. And I was just so happy to hear her voice. And I also would like to say that I did see her show at Bally's. It was fabulous. It was magnificent. I thought Donna Summers was right there live and on stage. She took me back to the days when I shook my booty on the dance floor to Let's Dance at the Palladium in San Francisco. So I just want to let everyone know that you got to go see her show. I will be there on July 19th, the evening show, to see this beautiful and amazing young talent, Rainier Martin.
Thank you, Xavier. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. Xavier, I just want to say on behalf of A Touch of Grace, thank you so much for supporting the show. But more importantly, thank you so much for supporting Rainier. And thank you so much. I'm going to enjoy going back listening to that. You're incredible, okay?
Thank you so much. And you guys have a blessed evening.
All right. Wow. Okay, so Rainier, wow, a big fan in Xavier Martin. So what does that do for you, your spirit, when you have people comment and just applaud what you're doing? What does that do for you inside?
It makes me, I can't even describe it. I just feel full of joy, and it actually makes me want to continue what I'm doing and do even better. That's exactly what it makes me want to do, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm the day that Donna passed, I think my memory serves me correct, it was May 17th, 2012. You said 2 months after she passed. Do you remember where you were when you heard the news, and how did you hear it?
I sure do. I was sitting at my desk working, and then my phone was blowing up. People were calling. I was getting texts, and I looked at one of the texts, and they said, I'm so sorry to hear. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I'm like, what are they talking about? I'm sorry for what? And then I got a phone call, and one of my friends told me that they just heard Donna Summer pass. And I was like, are you serious? It was unbelievable. But people, like the people close to me, you know, they, when they think of Donna, they think of me. So that's why they were saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And my heart was broken. My heart was absolutely broken. I was like, wow. I think the first thing that hit me was that death is final. And I had just gone online maybe about a month prior to then to see when she was going to be on tour, because I said, you know what? I feel so connected to her. I've been singing her music. I said, I really, really want to see her. I want to see her in concert live. And I Googled her about a month prior, and it said no tour date. So I guess that explained why there were no tour dates. And I think I felt really, really hurt, because I knew at that point I would never have the privilege of meeting her.
Mm.
You understand? And that's where I think that's how it hit me, why it hit me so hard, because I was like, wow. I waited too late to even inquire about even trying to, you know, see her in concert. Or it was a horrible feeling, horrible.
Right. I remember, I can't remember where I was when I heard about Donna, but I know that I was shocked, because she was a picture of health. And I read somewhere where she was in New York during the World Trade Center catastrophe.
Right.
And I don't know if this is true or not. So it's alleged that she believed that that lung cancer that she got, she perished from, was a result of breathing in the dust. Did you hear that?
That's what I heard as well. Yeah, that's what I heard as well.
Yeah, so again, it was a shock, and it's a testament of her family and how they loved her. You know, nobody knew. Nobody knew that she was sick, you know. Nobody knew.
Right.
And the outpouring of love that took place after was just amazing because she was our Donna. She was our Donna Summers. Now I'm going to cry. I got a little tear in my eye.
I know. It's so sad.
Yes. Yeah, so you had mentioned that you're going to, well, Xavier mentioned that you sang When Beneath My Wing. I would love to actually hear you do that. But now you had mentioned a little bit or touched on possibly original music coming from Rainier. So if there is, when can we expect that music to become available?
Well, I'm in talks to do some original music, some recording for some original music. And as soon as I get some concrete date, I'll definitely pass that on to you for when you could look for that.
All right. And most certainly, because this is going to be an extension of support, any of the guests that are on this show have the key to the red velvet rope to actually be able to undo it and just walk on in. So whenever you need to be back on the show to actually have exposure for your own music, definitely hit me up or get in touch with Wayne, because Wayne and I talk a lot. World Media has certainly been a great support for A Touch of Grace. So now I want to do something that I haven't done in a few shows, but I was doing it for a minute. So let's board the time machine and step back in time. What would you tell 13-year-old Rainier to prepare her for her future?
What I would say to the 13-year-old Rainier is, under no circumstances do you give up. Because, you know, a lot of years went by where, you know, I threw the towel in. I said, you know, this is not for me. I'm not going to do this anymore. But who knows, maybe if I had stuck in there, I would have been where I am right now years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would tell the 13-year-old Rainier. Even when the road seems tough and you think that you can't go on or you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, continue trying. Never give up.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. 13-year-old Rainier, never give up, because now look what has happened. You know, she is actually a spirit traveling the world, spewing goodness and grace. So how can fans reach out to you?
Okay, I'm on Facebook under Donna Summer Tribute Artist by Rainier Martin. And then they can also log on to my website, which is RainierSings.com, and that's R-A-I-N-E-R-E, Sings, S-I-N-G-S.com. And there you can read a little bit about, you know, where I've come from, my bio. There are links to my performances, media coverage, everything. You're able to explore into Rainier Martin. So.
All right, that sounds fantastic. And we had mentioned who should be contacted for booking. So do you want to go ahead and give the booking information now?
That would be Wayne Barrows at worldmedia.com.
All right, fantastic. Wayne's a great guy, one of my good friends. I just adore him. And so, final question. You have been interviewed on A Touch of Grace on Blog Talk Radio. So, Rainier, what is the best show on Blog Talk Radio?
I'm sorry?
What is the best show on Blog Talk Radio?
Talk Radio with you, Arthur.
A Touch of Grace. That's right. So I just want to say, for all that you are doing to keep the legacy of the diva, Donna Summer, alive, thank you for exuding class and elegance and showing us what a lady is like on stage. Thank you. And whenever you are ready to come back here to A Touch of Grace, all you have to do is hit up Wayne, and he will definitely make that happen. So are there any final thoughts that you would like to give the fans today as we exit the interview lounge?
I just want to thank all of my new fans that I've acquired here recently within the last couple of months. Thank you for your support and standing behind me. There are several that I met in Boston. There's Michael Sullivan and Derek and a host of others, and I just want to thank you for jumping on the bandwagon and seeing my vision for what it was, just trying to help continue to keep Donna Summers' legacy alive. And I want to thank you for having me on your show. I thank you so very much for your support as well.
Oh, you're welcome. And that's automatic always from this point on. So we know about the show coming up with you and the Barry White tribute artist on July 19th, 2014. And so one more time for the listeners, where is it and how can they get the tickets?
Okay, the show is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in Center City at 1714 Delancey Place. And the theater is called the Plays and Players Theater. And you can get tickets at aneveningwithdonna.brownpapertickets.com.
All right, fantastic. So for you, the listeners out there, for you who have listened to the live show on this, for you who have listened to the broadcast show, definitely do go out and support Rainier Martin because she's doing some amazing work. And if you love Donna Summer, then I'm going to tell you right now, you will love Rainier Martin. And also you can search for her on YouTube and actually find some of her performances there, and she is just lovely. And if you don't take my word for it, you do the search, you view it, you see just how wonderful and lovely she is and how amazing she sounds. So, Rainier, I'm going to let you go back to your afternoon. I want to say thanks a million for doing the show, and you take care of yourself, and please don't be a stranger.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. You take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk about some upcoming shows, the situation here with me. Keep your eyes peered on Facebook and Twitter for dates and times. My schedule has recently gotten crazy, so please bear with me during these times as I adjust things. So the shows are definitely going to be continuing. It might be in a different time frame, but you could actually always go to the website, http://www.blogtalkradio.com/authorGDGrace. Special thanks go out to grand supporters of A Touch of Grace, George Livingston, celebrity photographer, Snowman, celebrity security, and former bodyguard of James Brown for over 20 years, as well as World Media, just an amazing support for A Touch of Grace. And last but certainly not least, the man who is really making this a lot possible because he actually is sponsoring the show. His name is Lewis Randy Rand Wilkerson, the inspiring man behind Coffee with God by Randy Rand. If you haven't checked out his wisdom, Google him and get to know him. He's really an amazing human being. Now, for the outro, I just want to say, you know, my favorite quote by the late Maya Angelou. Now, pay attention. When someone shows you who they are the first time, believe them. And I say, rest well, dear Maya. Rest well as Donna. We miss you so much. For our final, we're going to go ahead and do the Last Dance reprise from the movie Thank God It's Friday. Thanks for tuning in, making us 40,000 strong. We will be here, so just keep us in your heart and your mind because know that you are in mine. Take care. Here's Donna Summer with Last Dance, the reprise.
You're listening to author G.D. Grace's A Touch of Grace, Literary Magic, on Blog Talk Radio.